It's wonderful to look out this morning and see the great number of people who have gathered together to honor the God of heaven. Thank you for your presence. If you're visiting with us, we're happy that you're here. And we trust that you are here to do exactly as we've mentioned, to honor the God of heaven. We appreciate so much the wonderful songs that have been sung and the beautiful prayer and being able to partake of the Lord's Supper together to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now for a while to look into His Word, to help us as we live in this dark world, truly be able to say, it is well with my soul, no matter what is happening around us, that we trust God and we anticipate His promises being true. We'll be talking this morning about patiently enduring in this present evil world. A lot of things in this world that we have to wait for. And waiting is a bit of an endurance, isn't it? We don't like to wait. It tests our patience. Sometimes we're waiting for something good to happen, and that's difficult. And there are probably a number of children here who are waiting for a certain day to come up pretty soon where they think they're going to get a lot of presents, and maybe they will and maybe they won't. But they're waiting for that, and they just almost can't stand it, you know, till it gets here. Sometimes we are anticipating something that's not so nice to happen, but we still have to wait. Maybe we're fraught with some anxiety about getting the results from a medical test. Or maybe we have to go to the doctor to have some medical examination. And we wait for that day to come. I remember several years ago, I had to go to one of my doctors, and he was going to give me an exam that I didn't really want to have. But I was going to have it anyway. And so I show up at his office about 10 o'clock in the morning. And I checked in. And I sat there. And I sat there, getting more and more nervous all the time. Just knotted up, you know. And then I sat there. And it got to be lunchtime, about noon. And the office staff closed up and went out for lunch. And so I sat there for the hour through the lunch. Waited till they got back and sat there for about another hour until I finally got my examination. That was some endurance of a very unpleasant kind. But we wait for things. We wait for the food to be cooked, whether it's in the microwave or the oven, right? We wait in the line at the fast food restaurant, in the drive-thru. We wait for service at a restaurant. We wait for the water to boil. We wait for the baby to come. We wait for FedEx to deliver our presents, right? We wait. Some of these have unpleasant consequences for the thing we're waiting to come. Others pleasant, but passing of time in the anticipation of something. That's part of what waiting is, and that's part, not all, but a part of what endurance is. We've talked a lot about endurance this year as we run with endurance the race that is set before us. The man Lot in the Old Testament had a lot to endure. He's talked about in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Lot saw and heard some very unpleasant things which tormented him from day to day and which he just had to patiently endure. The Lord God, of course, turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 says. He condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. I want you to understand that the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah and their punishment are still an example today for those who choose of their own volition to live ungodly. It still stands as an example. And yet Lot was delivered. God delivered righteous Lot, the next verse says, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. It must have been oppressive for a righteous man to live in that culture, in that society. And the writer goes on to explain that this righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. I hear some people say today that the problem of Sodom and Gomorrah was no more than that they failed to show hospitality. Now, Lot was seeing every day their lawless deeds, which were many. and some of which are specified, of course, in the account in Genesis. This last week in our country, the Respect for Marriage Act was passed by Congress and signed by our president. If you haven't been watching the news and don't know what I'm talking about, that particular law gives legal safeguards to same-sex marriage. It codifies a national, I should say, disrespect for marriage as God ordained it and as Jesus defined it. President Biden said at the signing of this document, he said, "This law and the love it defends strike a blow against hate in all its forms, and that's why this law matters to every single American." He went on to say that this law was designed to stop hate. Let's start with that. The law, as was signed by our president this last week, is like any other law that supports evil. And it's going to promote hatred of what is good. It's not going to stop hate. It's going to cause hate. And we need to come to grips with that, and I think our nation does. Such laws and such lawmakers have no fellowship with God. In Psalm 94 and verse 20, the psalmist said, "Shall the throne of iniquity which devises evil by law have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous, and they condemn innocent blood." Hate is going to increase. Hate towards the God who created humans, male and female. Already, many have rejected the God of the Bible because the God of the Bible created them male and female, and they don't want male and female. They want male and female and lots of other things. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. "In the day that God created man, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. And he blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created." More and more people hate God for how he's made us. There will be hatred fomented toward God's Son and his Word. For Jesus stood up in Matthew chapter 19 in answer to a question by the Pharisees. And he said, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." And people hate that. They hate the male and the female part of it. They hate the fact that what God has joined together, man is not to separate, has no right to outside of sexual immorality to separate it. And the world hates that and hates what the Bible has to say about it. And further, the world will foment hate towards Christians who believe in God's Word and His Son. You know, Jesus told His apostles in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, "You will be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." So we are living in a time when we are hated because of what we believe and what we stand for, because we believe Jesus, because we believe God. And for no more than that. But that's a guarantee. It's been a guarantee a long time. As Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's the way of it. We're either going to hate evil or hate good. The two are opposites. They're antithetical. The Scriptures encourage us to love good and hate evil. Psalm 97 and verse 10, "You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of His saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked." Saints are holy ones of God. Christians are called saints. As we mentioned recently, 61 times in the New Testament, we're called saints, holy ones, the holy ones of God. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If we respect God, we hate that which is evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, that I hate." There's been a lot said over the last few years about pride, and it's been said in an arrogant way. And the Bible teaches us to hate pride and to hate arrogance in this passage. The Lord encourages His people in Amos chapter 5 and verse 15 to hate evil and love good and establish justice in the gate. It's what we need yet today. The Respect for Marriage Act that President Biden signed seeks to quell the fears of the righteous by offering, and I quote, "explicit protections for religious groups with moral objections to same-sex marriages. They are not required," that is, religious groups, "are not required to provide goods or services to the marriages they object to, and their tax-exempt status cannot be rescinded for refusing to perform or respect a marriage." You might not have known that was in there, but that's in there, according to this ABC reporter. You might think, well, that's good news. Is it? Just a few years ago, Congress passed and a president signed what was called the Defense of Marriage Act that defined marriage as something that was between a man and a woman. That, of course, was completely obliterated by the act that was signed this last week. I have no reason to expect that this wonderful provision, allowing Christians to believe what they're supposed to believe without punishing them by removing their tax-exempt status or in some other way, that's not going to stand. It'll be changed by another act if the world keeps on going the way it's going. Our hope is false if we believe that churches and righteous individuals are not going to suffer persecution and are not suffering persecution as a result of not only this law, but the ungodliness that is prevalent throughout our land. So what are we going to do? What should we do? Get torches and pitchforks and storm the castle? Is that what we're going to do? I don't think so. What does God want us to do as Christians? This present evil world must be endured. He wants us to endure. He wants us to stand for what's right. He wants us to share His love with our neighbors of all kinds, no matter who they are, what they believe, what offense they may be committing against God. God loves them as He loved us. And we are the emissaries of His gospel in this world. People will not know the good news of the gospel, their need for salvation, if Christians don't spread the message, if Christians don't live it in their lives. But in all of that, in living that, in standing for truth, trying to bring others to truth with patience and kindness and love, we must endure. We must endure a world that is hostile to us and will not be kind to us. It's part of the bargain. In fact, it's part of the covenant. We are living truly in an evil world. The Apostle Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 as wrestling not against flesh and blood, he says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There are wicked forces in the spiritual realm that surround us all the time, and we're fighting against them as they make their will known through their servants in this world. Patient endurance empowered by hope, is what keeps us going. Hope for something better. You know, Abraham was not like everybody else around him. He was a lot different from everybody else around him. In fact, God made sure that that was the case because he called Abraham to leave his home country and go to a place where he'd be a stranger, where he'd be noted for being different. And the Bible says about Abraham in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15 that after he had patiently endured, he received the promise. He patiently endured. In Hebrews 11 and verse 8, the text says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country. Something when the country that you and your descendants are going to possess is a foreign country to you. He dwelt there as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, all this time, was he just sitting around twiddling his thumbs? No, he was serving God faithfully, performing act after act of faithful obedience to the God of heaven, living an exemplary life in a world of sinful men. But all that time, he was waiting for something better, for the city which has foundations, whose maker and builder is God. And as you and I are here this morning, we're waiting for that same thing, for exactly that same thing. This world filled with the enemies of the cross is endured by waiting for something better. Listen to the way Paul puts it. I don't know if you've ever strung these verses together quite, but in Philippians chapter 3, pick up the reading in verse 18. We often quote verse 20, but notice the lead up to verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18. Many walk, Paul says, many walk, of whom I've told you before, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. We are living in a world of people who are enemies of the cross of Christ. We've already established that in this lesson, right? And Paul describes them. He says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. The things they're proud of are the things they should be ashamed of. Those are the kind of people Paul was talking about in the world in which he lived. They're still in the world today. Whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the contrast? You see the contrast between what was in the world and what was in Paul. What the world was anticipating and working for and loving, their bellies, their sinful desires, and what the Christian's working for and living for, the Lord to come again. We eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ. In James chapter 5 and verse 7, James says, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rains. I might tell you that farmers are some of the hardest working people in the world. Right? They just are. I mean, from tending the land, caring for the animals they have, planting the crops, fertilizing, harvesting, preparing the field the next year, everything that goes with it. It's just constant. When we say they're waiting, we don't mean they're not working. But they're looking for something. What keeps them going is what they're looking for. They're looking for a harvest. James says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The next thing that is going to happen in the long story of human history, I don't know when it's going to happen, but the next big thing that happens in the long story of God's dealing with man in human history, is God is going to come. The Lord is going to come. That's the next door that's going to open. And that's what we're waiting for. I want you to go back in your Bibles with me for a moment to Psalm 37. I chose a few verses from this psalm for our welcome slides this morning that were telling us not to fret. I'm telling you this morning also not to fret, but to wait patiently and endure. But notice Psalm 37 and verse 1. I'm just going to read several verses. Please follow with me. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Listen, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Evildoers shall be cut down, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I believe those words. I believe they apply still today. Jesus echoes them long after they were written when he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Meekly obey the Lord. Give your life to him. And wait, wait, endure, endure patiently for the world to change. I suppose I have almost nothing in common with John Mayer, a songwriter and singer, Grammy Award winner. He wrote a song a number of years ago, 2006. And it's funny how, from his perspective and my perspective, we have something in agreement. One thing. I'd like to read you the words of his Grammy-winning song, "Waiting for the World to Change." Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. So we keep waiting, waiting, waiting on the world to change. It's hard to beat the system when you're standing at a distance. So we keep waiting, waiting on the world to change. Now, if we had the power to bring our neighbors home from war, they would have never missed a Christmas. No more ribbons on the door. And when you trust your television, what you get is what you got. Because when they own the information, they can bend it all they want. That's why we're waiting, waiting on the world to change. I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm waiting on the world to change. Probably not in the same way that he means. I am literally waiting on the world to change, like it is going to be changed when Jesus comes again. Second Peter, chapter 3 and verse 13. According to his promise, here's the promise we have. Here's the promise Abraham was looking forward to. Here's the promise of that eternal city, not made with hands. According to his promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. There will be no ungodly laws. There will be no misdefinitions or misunderstandings of God's will. It will be truly a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And though I am waiting for it, may I add also this, that I can hardly wait. Folks, we have a way and a reason to endure. Don't give up. Sure, the world is evil. Sure, life as a Christian is hard and liable to get harder. But we have something to wait for. And it's grand, it's motivational, it's hopeful, and it helps us to endure. If you here this morning are willing to leave this present evil world and join the people of God to wait for the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you name His name, the name of Jesus, as your Lord, and turn away from the things of the world, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, that you may be a part of this eternal kingdom and the world to come? We'd ask you to come now while we stand, while we sing.